Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. As a band, Fireside Collective from Asheville, North Carolina, has been together for 6 years. Two of the members, Jesse and Tommy, join me on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about the origins of their band and their latest CD release called Elements. So I'm talking to Jesse and Tommy with Fireside Collective. Welcome, guys.
Good to be here. How's it going?
Good, good. Thanks for joining me on the call today, and it's good to get to talk to you. So you guys have been together, what, 5 years-ish? Something like that?
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
So 6 years right now. It's actually our 6-year anniversary. So.
Okay, cool. And give me a little bit of background how you guys got together as a band.
Okay. So Tommy and I met in college at East Carolina University
over
in Greenville, North Carolina.
Yep.
And we were just buddies who bonded over folk music and root music and jam band stuff. And we moved together to the mountains back in 2009, and we kind of recorded some stuff together and did some stuff, and then went our separate ways for a few years. And then I was touring with another bluegrass band. It was kind of a more traditional band, but I really was having a good time on the road, and so I called Tommy up when I was on the road and was just like, "Man, we gotta figure out a way to do this."
Yeah.
So that's kind of the short story of how it all came together. And then I recorded an album called Shadows and Dreams that featured like a bunch of Asheville artists, John Stickley, Lindsey Pruitt, Drew Madelich. And then to release that album, we put together the first phase of this band, which also included Carson White, our bass player, also a friend from ECU, and Tommy and myself and a few other friends. And then over time, we combed the area to find the right musicians.
Yeah.
And we found Joe up in Johnson City about a year and a half in. And then Alex joined about 4 years in.
Okay.
So that's where we're at now.
You said you moved to the mountains. Some of us folks that live on the East Coast understand what that means. But for the rest of the listeners, what do you mean when you say you moved to the mountains?
So we moved to specifically Asheville, North Carolina, which is a really awesome town, a lot of great art, music, and food, and beautiful outdoors, Blue Ridge Mountains.
Right.
We just got everything inspiring for an artist, you know. So,
and Asheville is a pretty good hotbed for all kinds of really cool music anyway, right?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah, what do you think, Tommy? There's just all sorts of stuff out here.
Well, it's funny, you know, when we first moved there, that first year Jesse just referred to, we actually spent most of our time going out to the funk jam, if I remember correctly. we did go to some bluegrass jams, but it's just a testament to, you know, how diverse the town is. It's rock and roll and jazz and bluegrass, of course, is what it's known for, but yeah, there's just so much going on here. And being in a bluegrass band, even though that's the foundation, I think, of our sound, of course, we've been influenced by all the other, you know, good genres that you hear nightly basis in Asheville. So, really special place in that regard.
Interesting, you mentioned the funk jam. As a band, Fireside Collective kind of seems to like to push a lot of boundaries musically, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think funk is a element of what we do. Carson and myself played in kind of like a funk band for a little while. So we really enjoyed, you know, the rhythm of funk and soul music and stuff like that. And, you know, we love the Grateful Dead, and they had an ability to bring in so many different genres and make it still sound cohesive.
Right.
And so that's, you know, similar to what we're doing as a string band. You know, we don't have drums, so we've got to think a little bit more about what we're doing when we do a funk song or a rock and roll song, and try and figure out how to create those rhythms with the mandolin and the bass.
Yeah, yeah.
All that stuff.
Now, are those, are you covering funk and rock, or are these original songs that you're creating with that bass rhythm behind it?
So with the funk stuff, we actually have quite a few funk songs, originals.
Okay.
I really enjoy writing in that style and like that different groove. So I've got two songs on the current album that are both, I would consider them funky. Funk song,
mm-hmm.
And I usually try and get one, at least one funk influenced song on there. As far as rock and roll, we actually do cover some rock and roll bands, like, you know, we do an Eagles tune,
yeah.
Kind of one of their more rock and roll songs.
Yeah,
we've played The Who in the past. Obviously, we love the Beatles and bands like that. So I guess in some ways the show has a little bit of a rock and roll vibe to it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we move a lot on stage and we try and engage the audience, you know, in a similar way to like a rock concert.
Yeah. That 70s throwback, 70s, early 80s kind of feel seems to be really popular right now, resonating with the younger age bracket of the baby boomers and the late age bracket of the Gen Xers all seem to be really feeling that vibe right now.
Yeah, I would agree.
When you guys...
Good music.
What's that?
It was good music.
Yeah, for sure, right?
Stands, deny, yeah.
Right, stands the test of time, for sure. When you guys are writing, typically, which comes first, lyrics or music?
I think it's different, probably different for everybody in the band. For me, I'm kind of a free flow guy. You know, like some days I'll sit down and just write lyrics.
Yep.
And I'll try and shape music to it. And then sometimes I'll just wake up with a melody in my head, or I'll be practicing the mandolin and a little riff will come in, and then I'll try and write music around it,
uh-huh.
Or write lyrics around it. I've personally found it a little easier to write the lyrics first, because
okay.
Then I can, like, I'll, like, meditate on the lyrics and try and figure out what vibe that is.
Yeah.
And then try and, you know, shape the music to it. But I've definitely done both ways, and I think either one's good. What do you think, Tommy?
I tend to write lyrics first almost every time. That's just because I wrote poems and stuff long before I got my hands on an instrument of any kind.
Yeah,
so cool. Just by default, that's sort of how I do it. Lately, I've been experimenting with maybe, like Jesse said, building a song around an idea, a musical idea.
Mm-hmm.
And always, you know, if a good thing comes out of it. So, yeah.
Is this... Awesome. Is this a, I'm presuming it's a full-time venture for you guys right now?
Yeah, full-time.
Yeah.
Very full-time.
Yeah. Is that something that was intentional, or had you guys experienced being able to be on the road? I know you mentioned a little earlier that that was kind of the how you got started, but the rest of the guys, was full-time road life with a band part of your experience up until this point?
It's new for almost everybody.
Yeah.
Full time wise. Our banjo player, he was actually playing in another band out of Seattle when we met him. We met him in Fort Collins, Colorado. And so he's experienced some full time musicianship, musician life. But the rest of us, you know, when I did that first tour, we were out there selling CDs and I was like, wow, people still buy CDs, so maybe you can make a living.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did really well on that tour that kind of inspired the band, and I was like, okay, I see what's going on here. I think, you know, if we play our cards right, we can make it happen.
Yeah.
And Tommy left the job to join the band. I don't think he's worked much at all since the band started.
that is correct.
I mean, he works a lot on the band.
Right.
And I waited tables for the first year, and then when we did our first big fireside tour out to Colorado, I left my job for that, and it was an amazing feeling.
Yeah.
Very freeing.
Cool.
And, you know, kind of allowed me to identify with music and being an artist, and I feel like, you know, everybody in the band is in that place right now, and it really gives it a special, you know, energy to it that we're all just here doing this, making this work.
Are you finding that you're still able to move product? People buy CDs? Are you having to adapt to a different way of making revenue from that?
I see people buying CDs a ton still.
Good.
They just want to support the band, I feel like, and our fans have been so supportive of us over the years. And, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, when there's a new item at the table, they just want to support us and put money into the band. And we've even had fans buy the same CD twice because the other one they lost or it got too scratched from overplaying it. And they were like, yeah, this is my second time buying this one. It's like,
That means
a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
And of course, we'd love to have vinyl. And obviously, that would be, that's coming back. And streaming is huge now. But we do sell a lot of CDs still, physical CDs at shows, which is really awesome.
Yeah, that's good news. What type of audience do you find that your music resonates with the most?
That's a tough one. We get that a lot, and for some reason we haven't come up with a good answer yet.
Okay.
And it seems like we do well with a lot of different audiences, typically like your festival goers.
Yep.
You know, people that really love the outdoors and love, you know, kind of being around a bunch of different types of people. We do well with those audiences. The jam band audience we do really well with because we try to create like a seamless concert experience. You know, we do a lot of segues and we do a lot of improv on stage.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And so no show is the same. And we also still do really well with bluegrass crowds. The International Bluegrass Music Association conference in Raleigh is always a really positive experience for us. And, you know, when we play places like Merle Fest that tend to have, like, a traditional bluegrass audience, we do really well there because we still try and make sure that bluegrass is, like, the central theme and foundation, even though we allow ourselves to go
you know,
all over the spectrum. That's kind of what we all share in the band. And the instrumentation, you know, is bluegrass. So, there's, you know, when you're going way out there, it always feels good to just bring it back home with a nice fast bluegrass
button. Yeah,
well, it always works.
You guys actually got the a Momentum Award nomination, right, from IBMA?
Yeah, what was that? 3 years ago, 2018.
Yeah,
yeah, I think. Yep, sounds about right.
That's cool. Yeah, that's all changing. Not a lot, but enough. I think it's starting to really kind of resonate with a younger audience a little bit, which is encouraging. You know, it's music has to adapt, I think, to with the changing crowd. So the energy, I've seen you guys a couple times and listened to some of the new stuff, and I think that energy resonates with a younger crowd. And like you said, the festival audience, the outdoor feel, you want some energy there. You can't get too mellow with that crowd.
Absolutely. Yeah. We like to dance.
Right.
We like to dance.
Yeah.
So.
And the new record, new record is Elements, is that right?
Yep, Elements.
And it's, we talked offline a minute or two, it's actually is you have a release party coming up, right?
Yeah. So this weekend we're doing a Raleigh release and an Asheville release,
okay.
which are probably our two strongest markets.
Yeah.
And then the CD, the Street Gate, is next Friday.
Okay.
So that's when it'll go to the radio station and places like that.
Which is the 20th, right, I believe?
Yep. Yeah. March 20th.
March 20th.
March 2020.
Yeah, okay.
All the 20th.
So if folks are listening to this after that date, then they should be able to find you everywhere, right?
Yep, yep. Streaming. We'll have a bunch of CDs at our shows. You can order online. So it'll be everywhere.
And what's the website where people can get a hold of you guys, get the music?
Yeah, they can go to firesidecollectiveband.com and click on the store tab, and you'll find a bunch of merchandise there, shirts and hats, and the new album will be there as well.
And when's the tour start?
Technically, I guess this weekend, right, Jesse?
Friday.
Yeah, it kind of kicks off.
The crazy thing about it is that the first album, Shadow's Dream, was released on March 13th of 2014.
Oh, really?
And we didn't even plan this, but so the first tour date of this one is March 13th, 2020. So
that's cool.
Kind of a cool first full circle thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I appreciate you jumping on the call here with us, guys, and letting our audience know a little bit more about your band. And we're excited for your new record for sure. And we hope that the world settles down and everybody gets a chance to see you out there on the road.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you for the time with you. Absolutely.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.